Well, according to my calculations, this is our community on KRDU 1130. My name is Ken Adams. Two guests in studio today. One is a brand new guest, first time around. The other one, very familiar face around here. We've seen her in and out here a number of times. The new guest is Jackie Ryle. Jackie, God bless you, and thanks for making the long trek to Dinuba today.
Well, thank you. What a pleasure it is to be here. You know, it can be a long trek because there are a few trucks on the road, but right. It's sure worth it when you get here.
We talked about the trucks, yeah. It's the double whammy. One, they're only going like 35 miles an hour, and two, they completely obstruct a view of anything in front of you, so all you can do is watch their taillights and maintain a 10-car length between you and them.
And a calm mind.
A calm mind. Yeah. To resolve the conflict, and that is going to be the topic when we jump in just a second. Next to you, it's the Mrs. Dash. You hear
Hi,
her?
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Kim Bogato. Managing editor of Salt Fresno Magazine. You hear her at least twice a day, if not more, with her dash of salt from Salt Fresno Magazine. And you got some more dashes coming up in the near future, don't you, Kim?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir, I do.
Good.
I do. That's some good to hear. Some fresh dashes.
Fresh dashes. Good deal. Well, you kind of set this all up, Kim, because you featured Jackie on the cover of Salt Fresno Magazine a little bit earlier this year. And would you like to introduce her to the KRDU audience?
Well, sure.
Well, good.
Preferably soon.
But I don't have any notes in front of me, so I'm just going to wing it.
Okay.
Like all her official titles and all of those kind of things.
Well, this is dangerous cutting-edge radio here, so go ahead. We're working without notes.
Yeah, we are. We're just off the cuff.
Yeah.
I don't have any. You have nice cuffs, though, Jackie.
And that's all. No notes, just cuffs.
I'll sit back here till you're ready, Kim.
I met Jackie earlier this year when she was the honored guest at a Salt Shaker event that the magazine sponsors six times a year, and just sensed a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
She is the mediator extraordinaire. Most people, I think, in Fresno County probably know her or have had some interaction with her. She's been very involved in the community for decades, but she doesn't look it at all. In fact, she was told when she arrived here today she looked like a high schooler. So
Vincent, sure like that.
Vincent J. Vero saw her walking on the sidewalk in front, and he thought she belonged to Dinuba High School.
Vincent is a good man.
Isn't
Listen
he, though?
To Vincent. He speaks words of wisdom.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Jackie, where are you? Are you kind of a Fresno native? Kind of a Fresno native.
Kind of. Actually, that's a good term. I actually am a Modesto native.
Okay.
Came to Fresno in 1963 and set down tap roots. And so I really do consider that my hometown.
Hmm.
I do.
Okay. So my description was kind of almost fairly correct.
It was right on, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Kim said you're a mediator. What do you mediate? What have you mediated? What exactly, for the folks that don't know, does a mediator do?
You know, that's a great question because people don't understand, for example, the difference between mediators and arbitrators and judges and attorneys. It's all about resolving conflict. And mediation is about assisting folks to talk with each other to come up with their own resolution. Hmm. If you're a judge or an arbitrator, you listen to the, quote, sides, and then you make a decision and decide for them. But that doesn't in any way work on establishing or nurturing relationships. Mm. And mediation can nurture relationships. So that's the big difference.
So you're definitely not like a Judge Judy where you put the gavel down and this is my decision.
No, never.
Yay.
Well, you know, when folks have some kind of conflict, and we all do all the time, conflict is always
present.
Come
on, Christians don't have conflict, especially with each other, do they?
Well, let me just ask you this. You know, this is what I say to folks. I used to say if there were two or more people in the room, there'd be conflict because anything that's different is conflicting. So there'd be two. I mean, if there were two or more people in there, there'd be conflict. Well, here's what I've learned since then. There don't have to be two people in the room.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
We got lots of internal conflicts.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Really?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
the first thing you face every day? What's your first conflict every day?
person in the mirror.
Should I pull this blanket off of my face and get out of bed?
Exactly. Some days that's a real conflict. And then you get out of bed and then you decide what to wear. Then you decide what to eat. I mean, think about it. Some days there's real conflict internally before you even get down there with a whole bunch of other folks who may or may not have internal conflict. Yeah. So it really, and we are sort of, we're very independent. Mm-hmm. Souls, and we know what we know.
Is that a nice way of saying we're basically self-centered and selfish and sinful?
We can be. Yes. We sure can be. And once we get set in, I know it's, you know, okay, you know, I'm right. And if I'm right, then of course you're
wrong.
That's right. And
don't confuse me with the facts my mind is made
up. And we'll hold on to that. And so what a mediator will just simply do is say, so let's talk about that. First of all, what do you both want? That's where it starts, because they typically want the same thing. They really do want the same thing.
That's fascinating.
That's the common ground. And then you work back from there and say, so let's talk about what it takes to get there. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the differences come in. And once they've been on that common ground, they know they want to go to the same place. Then that changes kind of the mindset. Mm. It's really interesting. Humans are dear. They are. And it's like you said, they can get into that adversarial and hold their ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so what those of us that are out there in mediation or facilitation, anything, you know, just kind of getting folks to talk, we just want them to talk and listen to each other. And when they do, magic happens.
Mm. It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
I had a student at Fresno Pacific help me and my family with what we considered a mild conflict of having a college-age student being away at college, coming home for a few weeks, going back, coming back for a month at Christmas, going back, and the ins and outs and how to negotiate that. And one of the students needed a project to do and asked my daughter, and I said, sure, well, she can do that for us. And I was fascinated by the process.
Yeah.
So the whole family gets around the table. We all stated what it was we wanted, which was the same thing, which was peace in our house, you know, to let the college student come and go and work around that and accommodate her appearance and then her disappearance from our home.
Right.
And it was wonderful. And to document things, and I hope that girl got a good grade on her project because we benefited. So.
I'll bet she did because of what you just said, that it was a good process for you and you benefited, and so she would get that good grade.
Yeah.
See, you characterized it up front as a minor conflict, mm-hmm. but it's interesting that minor conflicts can become major conflicts.
Oh, yeah.
If they're not addressed, then other things start to creep in, and then we find breaks in relationships.
Yeah.
Which is what it's all about.
The tiny grain of sand in the oyster becomes a pearl eventually because it keeps adding on layer after layer after layer.
Yes.
Although what we wind up with is not like a pearl, more like a lump of coal.
Yeah.
Jackie has written the book, All I Want is a Little Peace, subtitled Resolving Conflict by Finding Common Ground, as you were just saying. You're a PhD, so you're Dr. Ryle, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Sounds good, huh? It's very useful when you're making restaurant reservations.
Party of three for Dr. Ryle. Is there a doctor on the house?
Yeah.
And it's I admitted to Jackie that I had not read the book yet, and Kim, always looking at my plate and wanting to make sure it's nice and full, kind of like going to the buffet, she suggested I do read it. I'm kidding, Kim. Is there a conflict that could be resolved here, Jackie?
Probably not. I think we're all on the same page.
I know we are.
Yeah.
And that would be page 37 of Where Do You Start?
That's it. Good. Very good.
That's my question to you, Jackie. You came to Fresno in 1963.
Yeah.
What life path led you to, when you were a kid, did you grow up going, I want to be a mediator when I grow up?
That's a great question. I'll tell you, that is. I came out of an unsafe household. And an unsafe household will direct you this way. When you're not sure where the next volatile thing is going to be, and your reaction to that is to try to fix things and try to make things okay so that it will be safe.
Mm-hmm.
That was really how it started. I mean, that was my reaction. That was, you know, there are different kinds of reactions you have to those kinds of life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my reaction. So it was natural to want balance and to want peace. But that I really did want that. This was more of a major than a minor situation in this.
Oh, right.
So peace was what I really wanted. And so it was just sort of natural as I went through life to find places where objectivity and neutrality and looking for that balance. And so I ended up city clerk in the city of Fresno. And that's what you have to have when you're right in the middle of the whole political process, but you're not really part of it.
Yeah.
And you're required by the dictate of your work to be objective and neutral.
Wow.
It was just perfect. And so kind of going through that and then ending up actually you're going through some training to become an actual mediator, realizing that was natural to me. So just a great question.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you've probably seen, I mean, just in my observations, not as a mediator, but it seems like society over the last 40 years or so, you mentioned objectivity and balance and fairness. Seems like we as a society have become very, very unbalanced, very unfair. It seems like the rhetoric just gets uglier and more heated all the time, doesn't it?
Yes, I sure agree with that. You know, I watched from working with city councils. I was a direct appointee of city councils. So from 63 until 95, I was right there front line. And what I watched, and I think that's a little micro of the macro of these folks, there was a lot of statesmanship. They listened to one another. They would get in on the dais, and they would argue vehemently. And then when the meeting was over, they'd say, you know, you were really full of all that. Let's go get a sandwich. Let's go to the Hofbräu. So they were, as people, they had relationships, although they disagreed on issues. What I saw through the years is that start to change. When they had disagreements about the issues, it started to get personal. Mm. And I think that's happened societally. If I disagree with you, then you're totally wrong, and I don't like you. Mm. That's what seems to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Golly. And I, you know, and that still seems to be the case, and it seems to be more so.
Mm.
The divides are so deep.
Mm.
And so those of us in the world of mediation and peacemaking generally, like the Fresno Pacific University you mentioned, in the world of, in the business of, in the heart of, just are constantly hoping that people will just sit down and talk together. Just talk. Just talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have differences. But you kind of, one of the adages is that we can at some point agree to disagree agreeably. Because we need to coexist. We're going to have to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So let's find a way to do that without all that, hard anger, resentment. You know?
Yeah.
I think the key to that statement that you just said, because I've heard let's agree to disagree agreeably.
Right.
Have mutual respect and honor for the other person, regardless of whether or not we agree.
So if we put that word in there, then that extends the conversation a little bit. We go beyond agree to disagree. Okay, you have yours and I have mine.
Right.
But then agreeably, what does that mean? It means that we're going to continue to communicate back and forth. So that extends the dialogue a little bit.
Yeah.
Facebook has been a fascinating experience in that way. I'm all over Facebook. I'm on it a whole lot, as Kim well knows. I don't eat or sleep. I just get on Facebook.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. And but it's interesting on there because you're thrown in with a very diverse group of people from all over the world. I mean, I've got friends there's a lot of evangelical Christians. I've got friends that are Catholics. I've got friends that are Orthodox. I've got friends that are Jews. I've got friends, some of my best friends are, but I've got friends on there. I've got a lot of lesbians and homosexual people. And we'll have these discussions, and they'll know darn well that I don't agree with them on a lot of issues, but it's done with respect and done with a smile on our face to where we don't hate each other's guts and defriend each other in the process. On the other hand, I do see some folks, sometimes I'll post something and I'll say, now, folks, be polite and be kind. And sure enough, usually what'll happen is usually somebody religious will light the fuse and start pounding on somebody who's a sinner.
Mm.
And then the sinners will respond in kind, saying, well, what about the Crusades? Blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, they're just, both sides are just shouting at each other in text.
Mm-hmm. Using all caps.
Yes.
And you're right. You know, the genesis of that is stimulating dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we can continue to have it without going into the blaming and the recriminations, we're learning. We're learning about one another, and we're finding that common ground that says, you know what, all right, so you know what, I disagree with you, but tell me more about what you're talking about here. I appreciate what you're saying here.
Yeah. Well, welcome the person as a valuable human being, whether they're a believer or not, whether they're saved or not. You know, John 3:16, everybody knows what it says, for God so loved the world. Hey, guess what? That includes everybody in it, saved and unsaved.
Right.
So.
That's exactly right.
And I think that covers, after the introduction of the book, Chapter 2, Conflict as a Positive Force. I think you kind of touched upon that already. What else is there positive about conflict?
You know, that's I'll tell you what. When I have classes and seminars, I teach this at Alliant International University, and the first question that I pose after I say, you know, when you were kids and you really got into it with your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, I mean your neighbors, your friends, your cousins.
You're not your aunts.
The other kids, not the adults. But what did the adult nearby say? Oh, that's good. Face the issues. Like I said, no, man. They sold it. I said, especially in the backseat of a car. Oh, they told us if you got to stop this car. So we're socialized really young to know that, you know, conflict is bad. And it's not okay.
Yeah.
So the first thing I say is, so give me some other words. When I say conflict, what comes to mind?
Disagreement.
I keep getting those, and right up to war, anger, frustration, fighting, all those words.
Intolerance,
lack of acceptance. And it goes on. I could fill three chart pages. Then I say, so tell me, what do you think might be positive about conflict? Takes a minute. Well, resolution, dialogue, new perspectives, fresh ideas. Listening. I mean, there are as many positives as there are negatives. It's just typically people have to be asked to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they do, they realize because conflict is always present. And if we think of it totally negatively, we're not able to deal with it. We're going to resist it. We're going to get more adversarial. We're going to, you know, trench it in our position. Mm-hmm. But if we think about it as a positive and using it, use that conflict as a tool to hear each other, mm-hmm. to learn more about each other, mm-hmm. to learn more, period.
Yeah.
It's a new concept. Isn't that interesting?
We just mm-hmm. might learn something in the process.
We just stop. Be careful.
Don't want to go there. My mind is made up.
We might be better people because of this conflict resolution.
That's right. Well, scripture, iron sharpening iron, that doesn't sound like a pleasant process. It's like, you know.
It's abrasive, friction.
Metal grinding, creating sparks, but scripture says it's a good thing.
Well, you know what? Of course it is, and that's one of the good things. Do you know one of the best ways to resolve conflict is to stimulate conflict? Think about that. Stimulate it. Get it out there. You know, we carry things around. Oh, man, I don't know. Kim didn't give me a call back. I don't know. Then the best thing is to say, Kim, I've been really nervous because I didn't get a call back. Now, you notice that I in there, I talk about I message, you message. I don't say you didn't call me back because you're going to feel defensive.
Right.
I didn't get a call back, and I've been feeling really anxious.
Yeah.
I've put it out there, but I've put it out in such a way that instead of you going back and forth about you have to defend yourself because you didn't call me, mm-hmm. I'm saying I'm concerned because I didn't get a call. And that allows you to say, you know what? And you know what you would say. I meant to call, and this happened or that happened, and now we can talk.
Right.
And so we've got it out there. So put it out there rather than a challenge as an invitation.
Yes.
So really, that's the wisdom of it. That is the wisdom of it.
And an important part, I'm going to jump ahead to 10 here. Reframe these statements rather than, you didn't call me. You let me down.
Right.
How would you reframe that? You already indicated, but we'll explore that.
That really is the way. That's sort of the combination of how we say things using you. But the reframing thing is really interesting. And again, it's not very natural to us. A statement might be, you know what? You folks here at this radio station just constantly don't give me what I need, and you don't answer my calls. And you know what? I have to tell you, it just really angers me and makes me angry.
Was that you who called last week?
You see, and I was waiting on the other end of that line.
Where's Dr. McGee today? I'm really ticked.
Yeah, and that's what we do. And then I go tell two friends. The reframe of that, and it's not about the words, it's about the underlying meaning. Mm. The reframe of that is, so I'm hearing it's really important for you to be able to get through and be heard.
Mm.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I want. Do you see, it isn't about the words they said. It's about what they really want. And what they really want is to get through and be heard.
Uh-huh.
And you want that, too, because that's what you do. You invite people to come in. So if for some reason they weren't able to get through, you didn't get the callers. They didn't get to get heard. And now nobody's happy.
Right.
Do you see? That's that common ground. They want to be heard. You want to hear them.
It's interesting that as we're recording this, just 2 days ago, Dr. Laura Schlesinger announced she was going to be ending her national talk show. She's been on the air for, 20 years or something. And I discussed the fact that I went and listened to the audio in question. I guess it happened last week to where she took a call. And Kim and I have talked about this in the past, about I always perceived Dr. Laura that when I listened to her, yeah, she may have been plain spoken, but didn't do it with a whole lot of grace with people. And it sounded like to me that's what happened in this situation. An African-American woman who was married to a white guy called and didn't like the racial references. And instead of responding the way you just suggested, she kind of responded in a different way of almost baiting the situation and inflaming the situation.
Right. And ended up now she's going to leave the show. She's not going to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is about, you said it earlier, it's not so much what you say, it's how you say it. And that's what reframing is about. It's not so much what you say, mm-hmm. it's how you say it. So you can convey the message in a way, here's what I always say, in a way that people can hear you. In a way that people can receive you.
Mm-hmm.
So if we put that out there in an abrasive, sort of an accusing, that's what the U message does.
Mm-hmm.
It's accusing. But that's not what we want to do. We don't want people to be accused and have to defend themselves. We want them to hear so that the door opens and they respond and then there's back and forth. And, you know, she knows that. It's interesting to me that it almost feels like she was at a point in her life where she was ready to be done, and so she decided to go out with a bang.
Yeah, well, she's definitely
she's
doing
going out
that.
With a bang. Yeah.
Maybe a nuclear explosion. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow, how interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You've power balancing and resolving conflict. I can kind of guess what this is, but could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, so often there are issues of power when folks get together. Somebody has a bigger title or more money or a position of authority. And so when you've got folks together to kind of help balance that, to help neutralize that, because that's not the factor between the two people or the three people or the group of people. It's not about that. So you kind of keep moving toward what is it really about?
Mm.
What's it really about? If it's really about you want to hear and I want to be heard, then it doesn't make any difference what our titles or what our recognized power is.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that. Well, I was just thinking that's what this conversation is about. I know there's got to be some instances, Kim, where somebody will come to you who wants to submit an article to Salt Fresno. Oh, she's the managing editor. I have to kiss up to her and be very nice so that she'll print my article. You've had that happen, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Jackie, people have come to you. Oh, she's Dr. Ryle. Not to show disrespect is what I mean, but, you know.
Sure. I see that when I was with the city, and I was city clerk, so there was a title associated with that. And so what I always tried to do and could do is just neutralize that. That's not what it's about at all. Let's get to what it's really about. Now we're on a different plane.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. And so we're just here. We're just Ken, Kim, and Jackie.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about the stuff.
That's it.
How to resolve resolve conflict. Over the years, how many years have you been doing mediation, Jackie?
Well, I have to tell you that, you know, the balancing act of being in the city clerk's office and being the city clerk, and I was 32 years with the city and 28 of those as city clerk.
Wow.
That was a constant sort of a balancing act because you really needed to be on the same plane with everyone. And, you know, the politicians disagreeing with one another and have taking different views on things. You just, you know, right down the middle. So you're always focused on the issues. It's always about issues. So really, probably most of my life, I actually had an opportunity. Then I became what I call a facilitator and just, you know, using kind of those skills of mediation. I was able in about 1995 to take some real honest mediator training from CDR Associates in Boulder, Colorado. So I have proper training, mm-hmm. even though I used a lot of that.
Sure.
Now that I can, you know, write it down and use it and teach it at college, if you will, since 1995 officially.
Okay. outside of the dealing with the political environment as a city clerk of Fresno for so many years, in the 15 years you've been doing it officially as a mediator, what are maybe some of the more unusual things you've mediated, obviously without mentioning any names?
You know, maybe I put it this way, because there's every single kind of conflict there ever was. But a particularly rich, I don't know if you're familiar with the Victim Offender Reconciliation Program,
VORP.
Mm-hmm.
VORP.
I've heard of it.
You know what? I've done, I've been through the VORP training. The time, the volunteer time to be a VORP mediator is very intense, and I've never had the time to do it. I've never actually been able to. But when I was with the Dispute Settlement Center of the Better Business Bureau, that we had some similar kinds of cases where young people, kids came in, and VORP is typically most directed to kids, a lot of vandalism and those kinds of things, where you bring together the victim and the offender and to make things as right as possible. They call that restorative justice. Mm. Mm-hmm. So not that it's necessarily that unusual, but that it is the richest, and particularly when it happens when people are younger, because they learn then about all of the elements of what it means to get resolution without, you know, guns and war and hitting. And so in terms of my direct involvement as a mediator, and I'll add one more. Dr. Pamela Lane Garon is out at Fresno State in
terrific.
Department of College of Education. She runs a peer mediation program and a peer mentor program where they, and I've been able to do a little bit of this, go into elementary schools, junior high schools, and hopefully into high schools, and teach kids how to be mediators, kids, and then they're peer mediators, so that when there's conflict on the playground, it's two of their peers wearing the designated T-shirt or the vest or whatever it is. There's always an adult present. There's always a trained adult present. Mm. But that these kids become mediators. So they learn that there are different ways. Wow. Both the kids that had the problem and the kids that are mediators learn that the way you resolve conflict is not through violence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great stuff.
It is great stuff. We featured her in the magazine a couple of times.
Yes, right.
And the great things they're doing.
She's had some great articles. You're absolutely right. You know, let's plug that Salt magazine. It's so full of peace.
Yes.
All of it. When you look in there are stories after stories after stories that are the result of people thinking this way and acting this way.
Well, isn't that how Jesus was?
Exactly.
I mean, when you use the term restorative justice, that's Jesus.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was his whole purpose.
Exactly.
Restoration.
And us having an opportunity
justice.
To live that out.
Yes. In practical ways. Like you said, whether you're the city clerk or you're an elementary school kid, we can apply the teachings of Christ and marry those with conflict resolution strategies to have a more peaceful community.
Exactly. Exactly.
The book is entitled All I Want is a Little Peace. Can you believe it? We're almost out of time.
No, I can't believe it. Time goes quickly when you're
having fun and not being conflicted. All I Want is a Little Peace, Resolving Conflict by Finding Common Ground by Jacqueline L. Royle, Ph.D. Dr. Jackie, can we call you that?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Sure.
Where can folks find your book?
You know, there's a couple of places in Fresno. I mean, I've got a website, www.jackieryle.com. You can get it through there. But, you know,
Ryle is R-Y-L-E. JackieRyle.com.
And Aren't They Americas, which is the Latin Performance Museum, I want to say, right down on Van Ness Avenue, have copies. And Hands On Central California, which is formerly the Volunteer Center down on Van Ness in Fresno.
Okay.
Both have that book available.
But
Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. Okay. Find it on Amazon.com or go to Jackie Ryle, JackieRyle.com. All I Want is a Little Peace.
It's a great little book, and since I have read it, it's perfect for anybody. If you're in a family, if you're, like Jackie said at the beginning of this, even just having internal conflicts, you can kind of come to some resolution with some of the tips she shares in the book. It's a great little book. It's a relatively easy read. It's in layman's terms. There's nothing heady about it, although she's a very well-educated and respected woman. It's in plain English for all of us to be able to benefit from reading it.
Thank you, Kim. That
Kim
was a
Bogato,
great,
Salt Fresno, thank you for setting all this up.
You're welcome. It was my privilege, my honor, really.
and Jackie Ryle. God bless you. This only took 3 months to get us all together here in studio.
Sure was worth that wait, wasn't
it? It was worth it. Doggone it.
We got to do this again.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
It's a date.
Great. Good.
Okay. We have an open invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Kim. And thank you, listener, for joining us for our community on KRDU 1130.